Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am here with the Spirit of Truth Ministry team. And we are just about to start our program entitled The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. Before we do that, I want to remind you about the fact that we have a book that you need to read. It's called The Spirit of the Church by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld. And you can find it at our primary website located at spiritoftruthministry.net. Type in the search engine and you type in The Spirit of the Church and it'll take you right to our book, which is the primer for everything that has happened prior and in the intervening years since 2007 when the book was published, that has been the basis for what you are hearing today. Things have changed, of course, from the time the book was published, but in reality, it all started with that book and has moved on from there. We have another website, which is located at spiritoftruthministry.net/S, capital T, capital M, and there you will find lots of other good writing by the rest of us, including Dr. Don and Larry and Rich Humpel, who is no longer with us, Rick and me, and we encourage you to go there and take a look at that. It is our archived website. We don't update it, but it is still valuable. We have our Facebook page is located at Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. Father in Heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, we are here because we are at war and we are just about to enter the final phase of that war within days. And I pray, Father, that you will keep our courage high for the words of Jesus, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, for, frankly, the love of God. And we thank you for providing all of the things that we need to move forward in truth so that the world will know you and be able to worship you. I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's start here with Michael Miboyo. Good morning, Michael. How are you today?
Oh, I'm very blessed. Moving onward with courage, my brethren.
Yeah. You know, we are in a... Today is Veterans Day, and Dr. Don is a veteran, and we're going to talk with him in just a minute. But we are all in an army. And we have to learn how to function as a team and function inside of the parameters that our commander has set. So, and there is actually no one right now in our current presence that knows more about that than Dr. Don, who 53 years ago was in the Army. Good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning. Good morning. What a beautiful day. So greetings to all of you. Greetings to all of you and our listening audience. I will be looking forward to your great study. Back to you.
All righty. And good morning, Rick. It is a delight to have you sitting across the table.
And it is a delight to be here. I hope that all of you have had a chance to listen to yesterday's podcast. It arguably is one of the most important ones that I have done. And apropos as to its pulling together everything. God is a just God. He is fair, honest, understanding, and loving. But he will by no means leave the guilty without judgment. This process that the plan that he has made known to all of us. And what I mean by that is, in this three-volume set that we find in the Bible, although the Bible contains more than just the three-volume set, it is a compilation of writing that was compiled by man, by men. God ensured that the critical information that we needed to know to understand the plan that he's put together to justly and righteously bring about restoration of goodness, of right doing, of perfection in this world. Yesterday, I talked about Lucifer and the choice and decision that he made. And how some people question a God that would create a being that would do what Lucifer has done and is still doing. Knowing before his creation that he would do this. They see that as God creating the very thing he is now trying to destroy. And that in the process from the creation of Lucifer, and I will add all the heavenly beings who chose to follow him. One third of the angels is what we are told in Revelation. God created all of them. Did he create them with the intent that they would do what they did? I've heard people say this. He needed to have sin happen.
And, you know, Rick, we actually were in the presence of a pastor who said that, essentially.
Well, he's not the only one. I've heard it from, you know. As I have said before and will say again, we finite beings who do not know even 1 second into our future. are not in any position to judge an infinite being who created all things, because it is impossible for us to have the full information of that we would need to make that judgment and come to that conclusion. And if you would take the time and commitment to research the information that Almighty God has given us, you would find out how God has revealed the why, the how, the what for, the reason. God creates the beings that he has created, the angels and men. And when I say men, I'm talking about males and females. He has created them with the ability to decide, to take all the available information and to come to a conclusion of their own. They can decide whether they want to obey and trust their creator or obey and trust the one who has challenged the authority and the being of the Creator. He has constructed a world of lies. And I'm not talking about a planet. I'm talking about the souls of those beings created in the image and after the likeness of their creator. God did not create Lucifer to be the one to sin, to challenge him, to demonstrate to the universe what happens when you challenge the authority of the creator. He created him because he is the creator. And the universe will have life in it, just as this world has life in it. Lucifer came to his decision through a carefully thought out process of how he could accomplish it. He knew exactly what he was doing when he did it. Now, there is some information outside of the Bible that would indicate that after he had gone too far, and he knew he had gone too far, he tried to get back into the good graces of his creator, but it was too late. He had committed the unpardonable sin. And so with a vengeance that knew no bounds, he set the world against itself. The people, the nations, constant war and strife, selfishness, pride, all of those things. God's plan to restore righteousness, peace, love, common law to this earth needed to be accomplished in the same way that Lucifer had been able to make his choice and stand against God. What God needed was a righteous kingdom on earth. But this righteous kingdom would consist of the men and the women of his creation. But just as Lucifer chose to stand against God, the men and women would need to choose to trust and obey God. They needed to accomplish this through the process, for it was a process. If God had wiped out Lucifer and all of the angels who joined him, then people, according to the law, there would be no evidence, no precedent to determine the guilt. Precedents had to be established that the guilt of taking a stand against God, effecting a coup and taking over an entire planet, was a process that started with a choice that was made that was in no way influenced by the Creator or Creators, Father, Mother, and Son. And in order to do that, God needed to have a kingdom, and he started out with that. He started out with one man, Abraham, and said, Your offspring will be my kingdom if they are like you, if they do what you do, if they trust and obey me like you do, they will be my kingdom. And he gave the offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob around 1,500 years, give or take, around 1,500 years to become his righteous kingdom, and they refused. Not as a whole. There were those who were faithful, those who worshiped God in truth, those who obeyed and trusted him. But it was just a small percentage of the whole. And so the king, when the time came for him to come to his kingdom rejected him. So he took the kingdom away from them and said, I will give it to a people who will produce its fruit at the proper season. Now I heard for the first time, I heard a pastor or religious expositor on a podcast quote that verse. For the first time, I heard that verse quoted in public. And I think it came about because of what is currently going on in and around southern Israel at this, or actually it's southern and northern, so the whole of Israel at this time, saying that God took the kingdom away from the Jews, but he made a very wrong conclusion as to the people that God was going to, that God would give the kingdom to. He said he would give it to the Christians. I have yet to find the truth in any Christian denomination. They are no more the people of God than the Israelites and the Jews were.
Rick, it is easy to show that Jesus did not give it to the Christians, because at the time when Jesus said that, there were no Christians.
Well, but the Christians say he started the Christian church. So
well, but
that's why they're called Christian. They're Christian.
Jesus did not start the Christian church. Paul did.
I know. I know. But you can't. What I say is that I have not found any Christian denomination that has the truth.
Oh, absolutely.
So I have some. They have a little, just like the Jews and Israel did. But if you have any element of lies in your spiritual practice, your God is not the God of truth. Can't be. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, starting with verse 20. 1 Kings chapter 18, starting with verse 20. Ahab called all Israel together and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah, remember who is the prophet involved in this. It is important. Elijah stepped out in front of all the people. How long? He said, do you mean to hobble first on one leg and then on the other? What does he mean by that? Hobble on one leg and then the other? Well, that's his way of demonstrating the spiritual hobbling that Israel was doing. They were vacillating between Baal and all the Canaanite gods and Yahweh, the God of Israel. So sometimes they'd be a little over here, sometimes they'd be a little over there, but they needed to be all unified. So he goes on. If Yahweh is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. But the people never said a word. Why? They were afraid of that woman Jezebel, the queen. Ahab's wife, and see, Ahab is standing right there. Ahab is right there. She was probably there too. I don't know. I'm not saying she was. I'm just saying probably these people were afraid. Elijah then said to them, I alone am left as a prophet of Yahweh, while the prophets of Baal are 450. Let two bulls be given to us. Let them choose one for themselves, dismember it and lay it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I, in my turn, will prepare the other bull, but not fire to it. You must call on the name of your God, and I shall call on the name of mine. The God who answers with fire is God indeed. The people all answered, agreed. See, they could speak now because they weren't committing to one or the other. Elijah then said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull and begin, for there are more of you. Call on the name of your God, but light no fire. They took the bull and prepared it, and from morning to midday they called on the name of Baal. Oh, Baal, answer us, they cried. But there was no voice, no answer. As they performed their hobbling dance around the altar they had made, midday came, and Elijah mocked them. Call louder, he said, for he is a god. He is preoccupied, or he is busy, or he has gone on a journey. Perhaps he's asleep. We'll wake up. So they shouted louder and gashed themselves with their custom, with swords and spears until blood flowed down them. Midday passed and they ranted on until the time the offering was presented, but there was no voice, no answer, no attention given to them. Then Elijah said to all the people, come closer to me. And all the people came closer to him. He repaired the altar of Yahweh, which had been broken down. Elijah took 12 stones, corresponding to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of Yahweh had come. Israel shall be your name. And built an altar in the name of Yahweh. Round the altar, he dug a trench of a size to hold two measures of seed. He then arranged the wood, dismembered the bull, and laid it on the wood. And then he said, fill four jars with water and pour it on the holocaust and on the wood. This they did. He said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. He said, do it a third. And they did a third time. And the water flowed round the altar, and the trench was full of water. At the time when the offering was presented, Elijah the prophet stepped forward, Yahweh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He said, let them know today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. that I have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Yahweh. Answer me so that this people may know that you, Yahweh, are God and are winning back their hearts. Then the fire of Yahweh fell and consumed the offering and wood and licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell on their faces. Yahweh is God, they cried. Yahweh is God. Elijah said, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. They seized them, and Elijah took them down to the Wadi Kishon, and he slaughtered them there. Elijah says there that he is the only one left in Israel who speaks for Yahweh. Now, at another time, God told him that he wasn't the only one, that there were 7,000 in Israel who had not bowed the knee to Baal.
And Rick, imagine the pressure those 7,000 were under from their family and their friends and the synagogue and all of the leadership. Imagine what kind of reaction they got when they stood up for God.
And of course, the God that they had in the temple in Jerusalem was a false God.
That was not Yahweh.
Turn to John chapter 14, starting with verse 1. This is the Son of God talking to his disciples for the last time before his death. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God still. Keep your trust. Trust is very important. And trust in me.
And you see, in most Bibles, the word that is you have defined as trust, it is trust, but they substitute the word believe. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Can you believe in something you don't trust?
Can you believe in a lie without knowing it's a lie?
Absolutely.
There are many rooms in my Father's house. If it were not, I should have told you. I'm going now to prepare a place for you. And after I have gone and prepared you a place, I shall return to take you with me so that where I am, there you may be also. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? That's key. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you know me, these words are so powerful. If you know me, he's speaking to his disciples. If you know me, you know my Father too. From this moment, you know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, let us see the Father, and then we shall be satisfied. Have I been with you all this time, Philip, said Jesus to him, and you still do not know me? To have seen me is to have seen the Father. So how can you say, let us see the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak as from myself. It is the Father living in me. Who is doing this work? You must believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Believe it on the evidence of this work. If for no other reason, I tell you solemnly, whoever believes in me will perform the same works as I do myself. What works is he talking about?
In a traditional sense, Rick, people believe that he was talking about miracles, healing the sick and raising the dead and restoring sight to the blind and doing all those wonderful good things. But that's not it. And it shows how shallow not only were the disciples back then, but most people are today when they simply make the way they look at truth a physical issue. It is only and essentially a spiritual issue.
What is harder, more difficult, say, almost impossible miracle. It is more difficult than uprooting a mountain and casting it into the sea. What is more difficult than that? Getting someone to see the truth who refuses to see the truth.
And let go of the lie. You see, one of the things that...
Well, you can't hold on to a lie if you see the truth.
Well,
but yes.
When you see the truth, you have to get rid of the lie. Because the lie, if you don't get rid of the lie... Let's say you just try to put the truth on top of a lie in your mind. What's going to win? Well, the lie is going to win. Eventually, the lie will win because the lie is more appealing to most people.
See, preference.
Aha.
Preference is a very strong force. Very strong force. You can believe in whatever you want to believe in, and I'll believe whatever I want to believe. And at the end of everything, God is going to straighten it all out and let us know what the truth is. God has already let us know what the truth is. what is incumbent on us is to see it and believe it and put it into practice. He's already done it. Now, just as God created Lucifer and Lucifer chose his course on his own. It was his own decision. God did not create Lucifer
to sin,
knowing that he would be the one who would sin, but doing it anyway. See, that's the thing. He did not cause Lucifer to sin. He did not cause Lucifer to challenge his authority and start his own system, his own kingdom. Lucifer did that all on his own. He was not created with the propensity to do it. He was created no more, no less than any of the other angels who have the power to choose. How does God restore his authority? Restore his creation? Well, it's the same way. He does it through one of his created beings, a man. He does it through a man who has the same power to choose that Lucifer had, that we all have. We all have the power to choose what we believe and what we practice and whom we worship.
And why we believe.
Well, we choose whether it's the why, the wherefore, the how, or
whatever. Whatever the conditions, we choose the conditions under which we believe anything.
But what God needs us to understand is that no lie can exist in his kingdom, and no lie can reside in someone who is righteous. So just as Lucifer chose to do what he did, this man, this one individual, that's why I read about Elijah earlier, this one individual chooses to undo Lucifer did. God created this individual just like he created all of mankind with the same abilities and the same powers and the same everything, the same upbringing, everything. Each and every person who has ever been born is a creation of God, created in his image and after his likeness. And they all have had access to the information, the same information that is in the Bible, the law, the prophets, and the testimony of the Son of God, which includes revelation. They have all had it. There are pastors and religious teachers and evangelists who have parsed the Gospels, immersed themselves in the law, dissected the personalities of the prophets. They know all of the details. But they have never put it all together to know what God's plan for restoration is. They have never acknowledged that righteousness is key to the kingdom.
Rick, may I ask a question on behalf of the audience? Satan was a, Lucifer, excuse me, was a created being that decided against God, right? Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth as a man, was not a created being. The being that occupied the physical body that Jesus Christ had was a spiritual being.
Well, he had existed previously spiritual being.
Right, right.
So his soul, if you will, that which he talks about as I am in the Father and the Father is
right.
in me, they have a unique but identical soul.
Correct.
And what he was telling his disciples is, you were born with a soul, but not a righteous soul. And what you need to do is, I listen to me, because the words that I am telling you will change your soul from its condition that it was when you were born and have existed up until now into a soul that is integrated with mine and with the Father. That's what I just read.
Right. And so the being that is going to counter what Satan did has to also be a created being. If it was God going up against Satan, that's not a fair fight. It's not a fair fight, because when God...
Well, in a court of law, that's probably how they would see it.
Right. So God needed a faithful and wise servant to do the same, to be activated in the same way that Lucifer was, but not choose the same thing Lucifer chose. To show the universe that it didn't matter that Satan was an archangel, had nothing to do with it. It had to do with what was inside of him and what is inside of that faithful and wise servant.
See, the soul of Lucifer chose to stand against God. The soul of the Elijah-type prophet, the trustworthy and wise enough servant, so his soul chooses to become righteous and learn the way to life, which is what righteousness brings, holiness, to choose the way to life that his king, his savior, his brother has shown. All this that he has testified to is the way to life. The reason that we are now at the end of the kingdom of darkness and we are on the cusp of the kingdom of light, because one person learned the plan that God has put together for restoration, to restore his authority. And that person is sharing this with others. It's not up to that person to tell you who he is, or who he can tell you who he thinks he is, because who he is doesn't matter. Who you are is what matters. Are you someone who chooses to trust God and to obey what God has said, to learn the truth, to live the truth, to worship the truth, because God is truth. And it doesn't matter who the Elijah is. What matters is, do you believe God? Do you believe his son? Or do you choose to hold on to the lies?
You have to recognize from where those lies come. Anyone who is lying to you about salvation is not getting their information from God. There is a way of telling.
Now, you've heard me close many of the last broadcasts with, these are the days of Elijah. And I say that knowing that the Elijah that the Son of God said would come at the end is here. But it is not important to know who he is. What's important is to know whom you worship and serve. You have to know God. You don't need to know Elijah. You need to know God. And that's what I am hoping to accomplish, is to help you know the true God who created everything. Know the way through the truth to the life so that your soul will be a living soul and not a dead soul. Because when the Son of God returns, he will return to all of his servants and reward them accordingly. The reward is basically what the servants will be doing for the rest of the world. Till ultimately, God will recreate a new world for all of his created beings to live in and to enjoy as he had originally intended when he created them in the first place, until the evil one came and turned this world into the opposite of what God had intended for it to be. We can't imagine fully what it will be like to live in that world. But if you trust in God and obey his word, and obeying his word is not hard, certainly not impossible, although that's what the devil wants us to believe.
Right.
You can have the life, the abundant life, the wonderful, rewarding life that he has wanted for all of us. In Revelation chapter 22, starting with verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to make these revelations to you for the sake of the assemblies. I am of David's line, the root of David, and the bright star of the morning. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let everyone who listens answer, come. Then let all who are thirsty come. All who want it may have the water of life and have it free. This is my solemn warning to all those who hear the prophecies of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him every plague mentioned in the book. If anyone cuts anything out of the prophecies in this book, God will cut off his share of the tree of life and the holy city, which are described in this book. The one who guarantees these revelations repeats his promise. I shall indeed be with you very soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. May the graciousness of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. I believe that we are there. On the threshold, the door has been opened, and we can look through the door and see what is ahead of us. Soon, very, very soon, we will walk through the door into a new world. May God bless each and every one of you. These are the days of Elijah.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here today. We encourage you to go to our primary website at spiritoftruthministry.net and look for our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld. We also encourage you to go to our Facebook page located at Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you all a happy Sabbath, a good day. We'll see you all next week. So long for now.